This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. Security forces, together with armed militiamen in Myanmar, launched a fresh wave of attacks on the Rohingya, a Muslim minority. This after militants attacked the government on August 25th. The retaliatory actions against the Rohingya included helicopter attacks that decimated whole villages, prompting a mass exodus of refugees who then also faced brutal attacks. The Rohingya live in western Myanmar, formerly known as Burma, in the state of Rakhine, and have faced years of persecution that many deem genocidal. The United Nations estimates that more than 120,000 refugees have fled from Myanmar into neighboring Bangladesh since the attacks began. The refugees face a treacherous journey along the way as well as on the border. My guest is Tanya Rashid. She is a correspondent for PBS NewsHour who's been closely following the story. Welcome to the program, Tanya.
Thank you for having me.
So this is a situation that is unfortunately a repeat of past situations. We've had many instances where government forces have attacked Rohingya, but is this one a little bit different? The UN said that this was the largest exodus of Rohingya refugees in a generation.
Well, yes, this is the largest exodus, and the Rohingyas also happen to be, according to the UN, the most persecuted minority group in the world. Now, this has happened before. There is an insurgency group that is launching attacks against the Myanmar government. The problem is that they do not have proper weaponry or anything like that to protect themselves. So often what they do is they have knives or sometimes old guns that are given to them where they launch these attacks for their rights, because they're essentially being wiped off.
And so what happened on August 25th, which was the incident that is being used to justify the current violence?
A few security forces were killed by an insurgency group called ARSA. Now, this led to a launch of attacks by the Myanmar military and the government, where they killed so many civilians, and it led to a smaller exodus of people who then escaped through the Myanmar border into Bangladesh. Many of the women were raped. I've interviewed women that were gang raped. Their children were killed. Their husbands were chopped to pieces in front of them. It's been a deliberate operation by the Myanmar government of killing off the Rohingya people.
What do they face on the border? I understand that the Myanmar forces are attacking them on the Myanmar side of the border, and then many sort of wait on the Bangladesh side of the border for some sort of relief, but they aren't getting it. Plus, you have monsoons happening right now, which is making the journey even harder.
Yes, so there has been footage that have not been completely verified, but of young baby bodies floating, dead bodies floating in the Naf River. What happens is that once they cross into Bangladesh, the Bangladeshi border guards get a hold of a lot of the Rohingyas. They basically take whatever they have. So I interviewed one woman for a story I did for PBS NewsHour who had just three gold bracelets on her, and she had to give that to the Bangladeshi border guards in order to cross into Bangladesh. So there's a lot of bribery and corruption that takes place when they are crossing into the border. Sometimes the women even get raped too.
So you're saying that children have been brutally attacked, and we're hearing about this. We're hearing about beheadings. Children are, of course, the most vulnerable population anytime you have a persecuted group. Has there been any kind of aid or reaction or outcry from the international community? Do you have any numbers about how many children might be impacted?
It's hard to say about the numbers with the children. I've been seeing a lot of local footage coming in from the Rohingya community, where they're videotaping dead bodies on their cell phone. Now, it's hard to verify the number. The Myanmar government has led such a strong crackdown that it's hard to trace. But, you know, the Turkish government had an interesting, the Turkish prime minister actually had an interesting reaction. He is condemning the attacks and sending aid. And also the Maldives have decided to cut trading ties with Myanmar. However, the U.S., the United States, or the United Nations, I question them. I wonder why the international community within the U.S. have been so silent.
Let's talk about who's actually doing the attacking. Certainly, Myanmar security forces are at play here. There are government helicopters we're hearing about. But then there's also sort of armed Myanmar forces that are not necessarily officially affiliated with the government forces, right? Sort of militia groups?
Correct. There are militia groups. There are different factions, actually. They all believe that the Rohingyas do not belong in Myanmar, that they are Bengalis, ethnic Bengalis. In fact, Aung San Suu Kyi doesn't even want to refer to them as the Rohingya. She wants to eliminate the title, which is essentially making them invisible.
And this is the Nobel Peace Laureate who for years was held under house arrest over the dictatorial regime in formerly Burma, now Myanmar, and is now a sort of de facto prime minister, although that title has changed. Has she said anything about the situation of the Rohingya?
It's interesting that she has not said a single word. She has not uttered a single thing about the Rohingyas and what's happening with them. In fact, she silences them, as I had said earlier. She doesn't even want to refer to them by their name.
The other Nobel Peace Laureate, who is very well known, Malala Yousafzai, the youngest Nobel Peace Laureate, spoke out very forcefully about what's happening to the Rohingya and Aung San Suu Kyi's silence. She posted on Twitter calling out the Nobel Laureate in Myanmar. How important is it to hear from people like her?
I mean, she's the voice of the youth. She was shot in the head by the Taliban, right? In Pakistan. So, and she's also the youngest Nobel laureate. And she's actually speaking against a crime that's happening against humanity. These are people who are being killed in the mass. They're being exterminated right now, yet nobody is doing anything. And I've spoken to some Rohingyas on the ground, and they're saying, you know, there's probably only 5% of us left in Myanmar right now because we're either all being killed or fleeing for our lives. So it's essential that people get involved. And I think it's so important that Malala is raising her voice about this.
What do you think the fact that this is a Muslim minority has to do with how, not just how they're necessarily being treated, but the world's silence about their treatment?
You know, it's very interesting. I think global politics comes into play. There's so many things that make this situation tricky. But the fact that religion is being used as a tool to eliminate them, it doesn't make sense to me, because these people, the Rohingyas, have been existing within Myanmar for centuries. They are part of Myanmar, yet Myanmar won't even recognize them as citizens. And then when they go to Bangladesh, Bangladesh says they're not Bangladeshi. So they're essentially living in with no security at all. Nothing.
So the Myanmar government, when they speak out about whether Rohingya are considered part of Myanmar, cite the religion, cite the minority's religion?
Absolutely. They believe that the Rohingyas are terrorists, that they are wreaking havoc within Myanmar, and that they need to be, that because of this threat, that they are taking it seriously. However, you know, it's local reports from the Rohingya that show the devastating effects that are happening, that their villages are being burnt to ash, that the women are being raped, that, you know, they're fleeing for their lives. When it comes to the Myanmar military or their press, they're very, very hidden about what's actually going on.
You said only about 5% of the Rohingya are left in Myanmar. Doesn't this constitute a very clear case of ethnic cleansing and what many would say simply genocide, given how many lives have also been lost?
I it's hard to say as a journalist, I can't verify, but I can say this, that hearing from a Rohingya on the ground telling me that there's only 5% of them left, that all of their villages are presently, as we speak, are being burnt to ash, and that they're running for their lives and fleeing for their lives, really is astounding.
What do they face in Bangladesh? You said in Bangladesh they're not considered indigenous, so they're not seen as Bengalis, even though that's what the Myanmar government wants them to be. Have groups that have fled in the past been able to resettle in Bangladesh, or are they also considered sort of pariahs?
So I visited the unofficial camp in the border of Myanmar called Kutapalang. It's an unregistered camp with over 100,000 Rohingya refugees. There's also an official camp in Nayapara, but the situation with them is it's getting overcrowded. Now look, thousands of people are fleeing into the border from Myanmar into Bangladesh today. Right now, as we speak. And the situation is that the Bangladeshi government has been planning to move the Rohingyas to a remote island called Tengator as a response to so many Rohingyas coming in. Now, this island, it's devastating. It's a barren island. There's no inhabitants there, and they risk being washed away under the Bay of Bengal because of the monsoon season. But that's kind of how the Bangladeshi government is treating them. They see them as also a burden. And there are plans to move them to a remote island. I don't know if
Wow.
they've started, but that is in the works.
I
Yes.
mean, it sounds like the equivalent of a concentration camp, right? Just sort of separate them and push them away. And of course, so I'm glad you brought up the fact that people who are escaping are also drowning on boats because of the monsoons and the flooding there. They're drowning. Their boats are washing up with bodies. So that's an extra sort of angle of this, given the time of year that we are in today, right?
Absolutely. And I'm actually about to board a plane in about 3 hours to go to the Bangladeshi border to look at what's actually going on. And from my understanding, from local reports, there have been many, many drowned bodies, dozens of them floating in the Naf River. And it's a very unfortunate thing that's happening right now.
What is the United Nations' response or lack of? I mean, we mentioned the statistics. The UN is at least attempting to keep tally that over 120,000 Rohingya have fled just over the past weekend. Is there anything being done beyond documenting the horror?
I really wonder about the United Nations in general. They do condemn these attacks, and they have referred to the Rohingya as the most persecuted minority group in the world. That has been stated by the United Nations. However, it's a lot of talk but no action. I'm not seeing anything happening on the ground that's changing things. The Myanmar government, the Myanmar militia forces are continuing their attacks against the Rohingyas, despite the outcry from the international community. And I don't think outcry is enough. There needs to be more effort taken.
Now, there have been some mass protests internationally to call attention to what is happening against the Rohingya. Chechenian Muslims have protested. There have been other solidarity protests as well. Are we seeing enough news of that? I mean, we should also mention it was Eid last Friday, a lot of Muslims gathering in Mecca. I'm wondering how the global Muslim community is reacting to what's happening to this Muslim minority in Myanmar.
I mean, I honestly cannot answer that because I have not been observing the global Muslim community, but I can tell you that the Bangladeshi government, shockingly, has been very open to letting the Rohingyas in through their borders. The Prime Minister, Sheikh Hasina, has stated that she would want to help them and do what she can to let them in. That I know is happening for sure. And Bangladesh is a Muslim country. And a lot of the Rohingyas that I interviewed and spoke to said they feel safe there because they're going into the land of their brothers where there are more Muslims that they can relate to.
And so you're surprised by that reaction from Bangladesh because, as we discussed in the past, there hasn't been a welcome mat.
No, there hasn't, but I think that there have been so many of them flooding in, and I think Sheikh Hasina is being put on the spot. So her reaction has been positive, shockingly.
What could the US do? What sort of political leverage can the US wield, if any, where Myanmar is concerned? I'm not sure how many sort of political or diplomatic interests the US has around Myanmar that it could use as political leverage if it was even interested in doing so.
The U.S. government has been just very silent. This, as I said, a Rohingya local told me that their population is down to 5%. They think they are practically being annihilated. And this has been happening under the eyes and the gaze of the U.S. I'm sure there are, you know, trade negotiations and deals that are being made in Myanmar that is leading to some sort of political backdoor operation where they don't want to say anything. I'm not entirely sure, but it's just shocking to see that, like, it's gotten to this point where so many people are dying, so many women are being gang raped, babies are being beheaded, and still silence from the U.S.
Where can people follow your work? You're a correspondent for PBS NewsHour. You're leaving for the area just hours after we finish our conversation. Where can they follow your work and find it online?
My Twitter is TaniaRashid9, and you can follow me there, and Instagram, TaniaRashid.
And we'll post links to that from our website later today. Tanya, good luck to you. Thank you for spending this time with us.
Thank you so much.
My guest is Tanya Rashid. She is a correspondent for PBS NewsHour, and we've been discussing the latest wave of violence against Myanmar's Muslim minority, the Rohingya. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.